Let's get our Bibles and let's turn to Mark chapter number 5. Amen. Y'all know it's me, so you know you're going to be out of here early. And it's a Wednesday night, so I know you'll be happy about that. Amen. But I really do feel like God wants something to happen here tonight. And I'm kind of going to, a lot of what I'm preaching tonight, I made sure I was diligent in prayer because a lot of it is the same, along kind of the same path of what Pastor preached Sunday night, and a more kind of the same path that I preached the following Wednesday night. And I even found myself, I was like, God, am I just trying just to preach something that's, you know, like, I don't know, just what I know, what I've preached a lot of? Or, you know, I really wanted to make sure it was his mindset, you know, it's what he wanted this service. And I kept coming back to it over, and I just kind of felt like it's a theme of what God wants to do in New Life Tabernacle. Pastor mentioned that people are going to hear about our church through miracles, and I fully believe it. And this is in my notes as well, but if people are going to hear about us through miracles, miracles have to start happening with somebody. Why can't it be the group that's here right now? We don't have to wait for other people to come in and God do miracles with them. But there is plenty here, plenty of needs brought here tonight that God can start doing miracles right now, right tonight. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 5. We're going to begin at verse 25. And it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Amen. Let's, we're going to flip back three chapters to Mark chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1, and it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Skip to verse number 11. It says, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, and so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion." Amen, amen. For a short little period of time here tonight, I want to preach to you that same God. That same God. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down and ask for God to move here tonight one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Oh, let's clap our hands to God one more time. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, we praise you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated here tonight. Amen. All right, so tonight it's going to be a little different. Number one, it's me, it's not Pastor. And I know that, but bear with me here tonight. But number two, I'm going to start a little bit different. And I've asked some people to prepare to give a testimony of a miracle God has done in their life. And you can probably kind of see where I'm going, that same God, with the title. But I'm really here tonight, and I'm hoping that I can really encourage someone's faith, that I can really raise your faith to the next level. Amen. Amen. So we'll start with ladies first, and his sister Stacy, if you can give your testimony here tonight.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Hope everybody's doing good tonight. When Brother Micah texted me, it was like maybe not even an hour before service. And I was like, sure, yeah, no problem. I'll testify. And I was like, what do I talk about? There's so much that God has done for us. And so I just want to talk about, everybody knows our children. They know our story here. So in 2016, our daughter walked out of our lives and had total no contact for 7 years. And Brother Micah, I'm glad you used that scripture about the lady with the issue of blood. She suffered for 12 years. And I will tell you, I have felt like that lady, because I cannot tell you how many times I've been to this altar and I have prayed for my children. And I never, not one time gave up hope that I would not see her again. And even though 7 Christmases came, the first 2 Christmases, we got presents and we put them under the tree. The 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th Christmases, we had something there if they ended up showing up. But I never gave up hope. I even would say to him, you know what? It's Christmas. They might come. She might come. And you know, about 2 years ago, we were at a church fellowship, 5th Sunday, and I got a phone call from a young lady that we knew when she was younger. Her name was Carissa Haynes. Brother Worse knows Carissa. And her and Bailey were very good friends growing up into their teenage years. And Carissa had just recently found Bailey and talked to her. And she just called me out of the blue and she said, Sister Stacy, I don't even know if you'll do this, but Bailey's in a really bad spot and she really needs your help. Her car's broke down. I'm trying to get her to work for me, but she can't get there. And her car's broke down. Would you guys talk to her? I said, are you kidding me? Get her to call. I said, yes, we'll talk to her. No strings attached, nothing. And in a blink of an eye, guess what happened? That relationship started mending. Now, obviously, we want to see her in the house of God, living for God. But you know what? You guys all know the story about our son, right? Bailey was in this church the very last time our son attended, that same morning. And guess what? God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I wasn't going to talk about this. Actually, I had decided to talk about something else. And I was talking with Sister Glenda right before service. And she said something to me. And I was like, I'm going to talk about it. Because, you know, we all have loved ones who are lost, right? And there's times we're like, oh, are we ever going to get out of this mess? And it's hurtful, and it's hard. You know, we are in sorrow. It's like ripping a mama's heart out when their kids won't talk to them. You know, but every time I told Brother Worse, I don't know how many times, she's going to come back. She's going to come back. And I know maybe people thought I was crazy, but I was like, no, God gave me, he gave me an answer. And he said, your kids are going to come back and your kids are going to be saved. And I truly believe that. She's going to be sitting on a Pentecostal pew with her two grandsons, or my two grandsons, and they're going to get the Holy Ghost and they're going to live for God. And, you know, and I just praise God for just helping me to keep the faith in those times when I felt like, man, I don't know if we're going to make it through. So I'm just so thankful to the Lord. He's done so much for us. There's so much I could talk about. But I just want to encourage anybody who has grandkids or children,
that are not living for God, they're going to live for God. They're going to come back and they're going to live for God. And I'm just so thankful that Brother Charlie and I have stayed in the church and we've been faithful, because I know that one day all of that's going to come back around. And he's already performed a miracle. She's already been here. She's already received the Holy Ghost again. And we have a relationship with her and we're able to talk to her. And we're just praying that God just brings her right back in again. So I just praise the Lord.
That was the first miracle, me getting this microphone on. I just thought of several things, so and forgive me if this is too much or too long, but I remember back in 1984, which is way before here, there was a preacher that came to our house after one of my stepdads had died. Long story there, but anyway, he presented the gospel to me and the gospel of repentance to me, and I repented at a coffee table. I actually felt the Lord. I really did. I felt the Lord. However, I didn't see that guy ever again. But before he left, he talked about baptism for a little bit. And so me, as I thought I was a new convert, which I kind of was a new convert, but a lost new convert. So anyway, I kept searching the scripture. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Chick Publications, a little comic book thing. That was my first Bible lessons and all that stuff. I even went to college to learn about the Bible. And my biggest question was baptism. Baptism. Because I thought, there's something missing here. And I thought it was baptism. So 10 years later, 1994, I think Stacy filled out a Bible giveaway thing. And then somebody called me on the phone. And I was excited because I never win anything. And I won a Bible and got a Bible study. Well, about the fourth Bible study, Brother Worst started talking about, I didn't know he's not Brother Worst, but Greg, with his sweater, his cool Bible study sweater. Same sweater every time. I was a little, well, it was okay. I called it the Bible study sweater. Anyway, you guys are going to be sorry you gave me this microphone. Anyway, he started teaching about how they tied a foot around the priest's legs when they went into the tabernacle, and they had to wash and do everything to get in there. And I thought, whoa, wait a second. I've been trying to figure this out for 10 years. It takes me a while. I'm kind of slow. That actually took me till 11 o'clock at night, actually, for it to dawn on me. But I called him back up, and I said, hey, can I baptize myself in the bathtub? Anyway, long story short, we went that night to Hayesville. That's a scary place at 11 o'clock at night. The farmers are just getting off of out of the fields and everything, but wearing their overalls. And we went in there, got baptized. The Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. That was my first miracle. There was another miracle. My wife and I were over here teaching Sunday school. And God filled some kids with the Holy Ghost. Five kids. Another miracle, I was in Omaha, Nebraska with my sister. My sister was getting a liver transplant. She's very sick. She had lupus, about to die. She had her liver transplant. I felt the biggest urge to pray in my life. In fact, I wasn't in the church. I couldn't run the aisles. I couldn't bounce off the walls and everything with prayer. So I got on an exercise bike. I don't know how fast I had that thing going, but I was praying. The Lord told me to go in my sister's room. I prayed for her. I didn't know what happened until later. My sister woke up out of her condition she was in, and she told me later, she said, you know, I've had several people pray for me, and she says, you're the only one that prayed for me that I felt God's touch. And the Lord, I think, raised her that night from the dead. Because she was dying. Now I forgot my last miracle. No, one more miracle, and then I'll pass the microphone. Who gets it next? Okay, you got to top these. You'll probably be able to top them. There was one night, it was very recent, I was at church. I felt a need to go up to the altar during a time where they called for healing. And I went up there, and there was a thought that came into my head, probably the Lord speaking to me. He says, let me do the work. That's all I heard was, let me do the work. Let me do it. So I'm like, okay, so I don't need to like start praying really fervently. And like, no, let me do the work. So I got prayed for. I tried to remain as calm as I possibly could because I was letting God do the work. Well, a few days later, I wasn't feeling too good. I'm like, wait a minute. I went up here to get prayed for. I don't feel good. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I feel like I just feel horrible. So I think I had a doctor's appointment, and they go, hey, your blood pressure. Well, by the way, I was on medicine for high blood pressure because my blood pressure is sky high. You can ask my wife. But, yeah, they said your blood pressure is low. And they're like, okay, that's interesting. So they cut my medicine in half, still feeling horrible. So basically, to get this story over with, not that it's not important, but somebody's up next. But anyway, God healed me of high blood pressure. And the reason I felt bad was because I didn't need the medication anymore. So God is still doing miracles. I saw a miracle just before church. I saw Sister Glenda out there talking to a lady in the street. So that's a miracle. The Lord's starting to open doors up right outside this church. I'm starting to see people getting out since it's cooling off outside. And glory to God. And I thank God for everything he's done for us. And I can think of other miracles, but I better quit. Pam gets it. Oh, she's got her own microphone. She could have turned it on any time. And
it's dangerous. actually, I told Brother Micah that I'm not a good speaker. I don't enjoy speaking. And he said, when he asked me, he said, can you share a miracle about yourself? And I can share many, many miracles about myself. But probably the most impactful in my life was with my dad. And I asked him, I said, is it okay if I share that miracle? So I'm going to give a little bit of back history. My dad was an apostolic minister. And he backslid when I was about 3. And he was out of church for about 30-some years. I can't even tell you how many years. It was so long. I never really knew my dad in church very well. But I have clips of him. In 2005, my sister was living with me. And we got a call at about, I would say, 3:30 or so in the morning, 3:30 or 4 in the morning. It was my mom, and she was crying. And she goes, you guys need to come over. She goes, your dad has been, he's in cardiac arrest. And the EMT are here. So I lived about probably 3 to 4 minutes away. And we raced over there. My sister took her car. I took my car because we didn't really know what was going to happen. And we didn't really know what to expect when we got there. And when we got there, the EMT were surrounding my dad, and they were just sitting looking at him on the floor. And they said, he's gone. And he had been gone for 45 minutes. He had died. He had been gone for 45 minutes. And they had given up on him. And so my mom is so full of faith. I have a long way to go just to attain even a portion of her faith. And she said, can we pray for him? And they said, sure. You know, there was nothing else they could do. And so my sister and I, she took one leg, I took the other leg, and my mom was up by his head, and we started praying for him. And the power of God fell in that room. And all of a sudden, the EMT said, his heart's beating, we got to get him to the hospital right now. And so they did. They took him to the hospital, and of course we followed, and they told us he was not, like, awake, but he was alive. And so they told us, they said, if he doesn't wake up in 48 hours, he's not going to make it. And I was in with him that morning. On the 49th hour, he woke up and he looked at me. And then the doctor came in and told us he's not going to be, he'll be in a vegetative state. And my mom looked at him and said, no, he won't. God raised him from the dead. He's going to be just fine. They said, well, he'll never drive. He'll never be able to do certain things. So anyway, my mom was like, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't believe that. And neither did us girls. We're like, no, you know, we know God. We know who he is. But the EMT kept coming in to the room. They kept coming in, checking on him. They said, we just can't believe. I mean, he was gone. And we just can't believe that he's alive. He's such a miracle. And they wanted to, they kept coming back to see if he actually made it. Well, he did, and he went to rehab, and he slowly woke up. Things happened. It was a slow progress. But God healed my dad completely. He healed him. He started driving almost right away when he got out. He put siding on my house. He did. I mean, he was completely healed. And I say that, but then we believe, and I believe, that God gave him 3 years to change his life around, to do some things. He worked such a great miracle in my dad, and my dad knew it. And even he, my dad was an introvert, and he was a very quiet man, and he kept to himself. But even he would say about our God, what our God can do, and what our, and he always encouraged us. Don't get me wrong, even when he was out of church, he didn't want us out of church. You know, he encourages us to be in church, but he would talk about what God, our God, our church, our God, and our things. So there was a transformation and there was a change in him. I cannot tell you my dad made it to heaven. I don't know. But I know that God worked such a miracle. He gave him an opportunity that most people would have never gotten. And it transformed our lives. And so I'm forever grateful. I've got many, many stories through the years of healings and different things. But I think that's been the most impactful to me, is to see my dad not only be raised from the dead and come out of what he was in, but also that God was so merciful to give him those 3 years and to give us the 3 years as well. So I'm very thankful.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I want to piggyback on those and just tell you that same God that did those miracles back then and all those years ago then can still do those exact same miracles right now. Right today, if we still had someone who is dead right now, I believe and got the faith that my God could raise them up right now. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. There is no difference in my God. We heard this Sunday night. He can still do it right now, tonight. Amen. Amen. We sang about the powerful name of Jesus. And I promise you that I did not tell my wife what to sing. She actually asked me when she came in, and I kind of ignored her question, but it was on purpose. And but in John 14, we're going to go John 14, and I know I've preached about this several times in the past. But again, and it's just a repeat. But in my opinion, if God has me repeating this, because it's not that there's nothing else to preach. There's a massive Bible of stuff to preach. But I believe that God just has a mind for this church. That God really, absolutely is not done. I don't even know if God has started to reach to what he wants to do in this church. Amen. So, John 14 in verse 13, it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, that shows you the kind of power alone that is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. I think I read this last week, but in Mark 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. In Luke 10, we see him casting out devils again in the name of Jesus. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So these are the disciples saying, through thy name, we have that same power to cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, amen. Y'all have heard the story in the past, in the name of Jesus. The torn ligament in my left knee was healed, and I was playing basketball that same night. I believe it's in the name of Jesus that I have two miracle boys sitting on that third row. In the name of Jesus, I can go down the line. When we were in revivals, in the name of Jesus, we saw an elderly lady raised from the dead, sitting right back on her pew in church. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, anything can still happen. Oh, I'm here to encourage you. Don't fall short in calling out the name of Jesus. Sometimes if you're in distress, just Jesus is enough to get his attention. Jesus, I'm in trouble. Jesus, I need you right now. And I believe it's just his name that he will come to your attention and answer your prayer. Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. So I encourage you here tonight, when the altars are given, or at any point, if you feel your faith arising to another level, you don't necessarily have to have a preacher laying hands on you, because we are told the kind of power that is in the name of Jesus. In the name alone, you feel that God's ready to answer your need. You can just start crying out, Jesus. Jesus, I'm telling you, darkness has to flee at the name of Jesus. All demons flee at the name of Jesus. Your healing can come in the name of Jesus. Any mental trouble that you're going through can disappear at the name of Jesus. Any depression that you've battled flees in the name of Jesus. Anxiety will disappear in the name of Jesus. Shout out the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. This past Sunday night, I'm not going to hit it too much, but we heard about unbelief. And I am a firm believer. Amen. I'm having a hard time following my notes, so excuse me. But I am a very firm believer that your battles that you go through in spiritual warfare is a lot mental. It's a lot of mental battles, a lot of mental stress that you face. And you say, oh, well, you know, there's physical battles. There's physical things you're going to face. And we can talk about Job with his boils, right? Like how he got all of those. And yes, I know they're probably extremely painful. But you can't tell me that he didn't question some things in his mind. Or that his mind started wondering, like, I can't take this anymore. You can't tell me that, because I know the spiritual battles that I've gone through with the issues with my shoulder and how it just attacks my mind. But it's physical. But I'm telling you, it's warfare in the mind. That's where Satan tries to attack you best, is your mind, is your mind. Amen. We heard a message preached on it, that warfare is meant to control. It is meant to control whatever it might be. And I believe that is why Satan triggers our mind so much. It is a spiritual warfare, but it's because if he can control our mind, if he can control our thoughts, there's a potential that he can control our worship. He can control our faith. That is how unbelief becomes a factor, and that is because Satan will attack your mind, child of God. He is trying to control your thoughts. He's trying to rule everything you do, and we've got to make sure that our mind is in check with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. If I can encourage y'all here tonight as well. And trust me, I didn't even see this. So this is just something else on the side. It's a free thought. But I'm going to share something. And just the other, I don't even know if I've told Sarah about this. The other day, I needed some gas in my truck and I needed to go to work, which is another miracle that I'll tell y'all about. And I needed to go to work. And so I parked my truck in my driveway the day before, and I was pretty sure the needle was on the red. And I was like, I can make it to a gas station. And I got in my truck, I started my truck, and I sat there waiting for the needle to raise. And the needle never rose above the red. It was fully below the red line. I'm not, like, it wasn't touching it. It was like, it was down, all the way down. And I was like, whew, oh, this was right after Pastor preached about unbelief. And I was like, you know what, God, I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to the gas station. But even something so small and trivial, I mean, my truck's out there today, so I obviously made it, right? But to me, that was a miracle that I needed right then, something small, something personal, right? Just a little thing. But and I'm not going to go into much detail, but it came to the point to where I have been trying to sell metal buildings and stuff, and I'm not trying to get too personal in my life, but it came to a point where I needed a job, like just an everyday job to pull in income. And I was like, God, it was to the point where I just had no idea what to do. I didn't know what to do, and I was starting to question myself. I was starting to question a lot of things. And it came to the point that I got on my computer, and some of y'all know that I'm going to school to become a mental health therapist. And I got on my computer, and the first job that pulled up was a mental health receptionist at a mental health reception clinic. I was like, oh, I'll apply for that. But, you know, you never get the first job you applied for. And back when I was applying for jobs, I probably submitted like 500 applications, and not even one messaged me back telling me I wasn't even considered. It just all went out the window. Nobody ever even followed up. They didn't tell me I was denied or whatever. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it out. And that was on a Friday afternoon. And in the bottom of the application, it says to call us if interested. So Sunday comes. Sunday night, my dad preaches about unbelief. And that was the past Sunday night. He preached this. So it was the past Sunday night when I preached worship in spite of your circumstances. See, y'all didn't know I was going through something too. So I was preaching to myself. But Monday, 10 a.m., I called the office and I was like, hey, I'm interested in this job. And they're like, hey, you've reached the correct lady. I'm the one you need to speak to. And I was like, well, awesome. I'm highly interested. Long story short, she's like, can you come in for an interview tomorrow? I was like, yes, I can. So I went to the interview on Tuesday. Tuesday, I walk in. We had an interview. It went great. She asked me, she's like, can you do another meeting on Zoom to the doctor? And I was like, absolutely. So a couple hours later, I have a meeting with the doctor. And on that call, the doctor's like, hey, I'm offering you the job. Do you want it? I was like, yes, sir. He's like, can you start August 11th? I was like, yes, sir, I can. And then he told me how much he was going to be paying me. And I was like, I will start August 11th. Absolutely. This is better than any receptionist job I've ever had. This is awesome. So God did a mighty miracle like that. But it's not over. Because then before the end of the call, the doctor, he's like, you know what? How about you just start tomorrow? And I was like, yes, sir, that'll work for me. And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, bam, I had a job paying me more than I really need. And I give all God the praise for that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that God's not done. God's not done, because I believe all of this is a product of our 52-day focus. Oh, we're only like 21 days into it. I still got 30 more. I wonder what God's going to do by the end of the 30 days. Because I'm telling you, that same God that did it for me, this is recent. This was last week. He can do it for you still till this day. It is that same God that changes not. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Like I said, I'm here to encourage your faith. We've preached about it. You've heard it quite a bit around here. That God has unlimited power. He is omnipotent. Amen. On day one, in the days of creation, with the spoken word of God, he created light and separated day from night. On day two, with just his words alone, he created a firmament to divide the waters. Day three, God simply just spoke words again, and the earth and vegetation appeared, and he separated the seas from the land. On day four, God made the sun, he made the moon, and he made all the stars. And on day five, he made all the birds and the creatures of the sea. And on day six, the animals were made, and so were Adam and Eve. Amen. If that's not enough, that is a lot of power. Which is the spoken words of God. He created this universe. He created everything out with just his words alone. If that does not encourage you, I have a lot more of what my God can do on top of all these testimonies we heard tonight. The birth of Jesus alone is a miracle, born of a virgin. Matthew 9:27, and it says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they simply just said unto him, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know. Mark 7, verse 32, and it says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. Luke 7, in verse 12, I told you I have a lot. There's nothing that God cannot do. Luke 7 and 12 says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the boy. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him unto his mother. Amen. A few chapters later, it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, oh Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Oh, there's a lot that I haven't even mentioned. We could talk about how he fed the 5,000. We could talk about how he healed the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. We read about how he healed the lady with the issue of blood, how he healed blind Bartimaeus. And immediately Bartimaeus went leaping and shouting with them into the temple. We could talk about how he cast all the unclean spirits away. But I think you're getting the picture tonight. There's nothing that God cannot do. His power has not left. It's not changing day to day. But my God can still do any miracle that you need here tonight. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Keep worshiping him. I think your faith is increasing. Oh, if you have any unbelief, just pray, God, help my unbelief. Oh, I believe God can heal you tonight on a Wednesday night. That's why it's important never to come in and just get in a routine. But my God still has power tonight in this service. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't have much longer, but I want to talk about the mind a little more. And this is what I really felt in prayer, but that we feel that battles are physical. You know, we might have healings that we need. And I know I've mentioned this all before, but just to go over it again, you know, but it all comes back to the point that it is mental. Satan plays with your mind. He wars with your mind. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, it's not physical, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. And we can all start standing here tonight. Amen. But those fancy words right there where it says, you know, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, simply is referring to demonic powers that control the sublunary world. So you can't tell me that all these demonic powers, and I know, like, if you're possessed, whatever, you can look, but you can speak to spirits, but that's a whole other avenue we're not talking. I'm just talking about the daily battles that you face on a daily basis, and it's consistent. It is a battlefield, but I can't emphasize it enough that I really feel that someone is going under a mental spiritual warfare. And God has came to speak to you and help you tonight. He's come to deal with it tonight. That same God that can heal the tear in my knee. That same God that raised Sister Pam's dad from the dead. That same God that did all the miracles for Brother Charlie and Sister Stacy. Don't disregard the warfare that's going on in your mind. It's very important. The mind is a part of your body. The mind is a member that you're going to go through the warfare. Don't disregard it. But God's come to give you a miracle in your mind tonight. Oh, can we start praying right now in Jesus' name? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, that's it. Oh, that's it. It's a spiritual warfare, even for your miracle. God wants to fight you in your mind here tonight in this service alone. Oh, come on, let's all pray. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, that's it. Jesus' name. Oh, Satan wants to come at you with unbelief. Satan wants to hound you on a daily basis with depression. He wants to come at you with your anxiety. He wants to come at you and make you even question yourself. Make you think, is it even worth it to live for God anymore? Oh, I'm come to tell you that God wants to help your mind tonight. God has come to help you. That same God that did everything else can help you here tonight too. Oh, that's it. I come against every spirit of hell that wants to come against you right now. Oh, we're in this together. Oh, this is a warfare we're in together. Oh, it's that same God. There's nothing my God can't do. I don't care whatever problem you're going through tonight. I don't care what you've been struggling with your whole life with. There is nothing that God can't take care of on this Wednesday night. If you just believe, start crying out the name of Jesus. If that's all you can get out, it's the name of Jesus, and anything can happen.